Amen. Is anybody glad God chose them? Yeah. He chose me just like you are. He chose you all over again too. Come on now, you'd be the number one pick. You're not going in the third round. No, not on God's team. God's getting you with the number one pick because he loves you so. So our key text is John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, Jesus said, is to give you a rich and satisfying life. So again, remember, the purpose of this series is to reinforce the importance of your life to God and his mission, and to help position you to live and enjoy the life he intended for you. So I want you to understand just how important your life is to God. You know, that's why we sing songs like, you know, I'm the one you love. Because I want you to embrace the fact, you know, yeah, God really loves me just like I am. Sometimes we can begin to look at ourselves and maybe we've had a past and history and people have beat us down because maybe we didn't do everything just right and they labeled us this, that, or the other, and you start to carry that stuff with you. God says, I'm not moved by any of that. I don't see you that way. I love you just like you are. Your life matters. So we want you to understand how much your life matters to God. But then watch this. But then also understand how to position yourself so that you can enjoy the life that he intended for you to have. See, some people understand that God loves them, but they're out of position. See, I play football, and one of the positions I played was receiver, and I understood a lot of times that if the receiver was out of position, the quarterback could throw a perfect pass, and we would not have a connection because I was out of position. I watch football games today, and I watch novice comment on things and be like, oh, that quarterback threw another interception, and a lot of times it's not the quarterback's fault. A lot of times those receivers are out of position. They run the routes poorly, and they're in the wrong position. So even though they got the bomb thrown to them, it got intercepted. See, it's time out for the enemy intercepting your stuff. Get in the right position. You got the hands to catch it. Glory to God. Hey, listen, so we started off talking about the fact that we got to reboot. Reboot means the act or instance of shutting down and restarting something. To start anew, to make a fresh start. Someone say, I'm making a fresh start. Last week, we were centering in on refocusing. Come on, once you reboot and get a fresh start, you got to refocus, meaning to focus again or change the emphasis or direction of. Change the emphasis or direction of what you're concentrating on. So remember, if problems and challenges seem too big to you at the moment, refocus. Change the emphasis and direction of your concentration upon the bigness, faithfulness, history, promises, and love of God. You're just looking at the wrong thing. Come on, look at God. Look at who he is. Look at his faithfulness. Look at his history. Look at his track record. Come on now, he's got a winning track record. Come on, look at what he has already done for you. Get your focus set on something else, and that's him. But this week, we want to shift now. So we've rebooted, we're refocusing, but now we need to realign. Turn to that person next to you and say, we need to realign now. Align itself means to come in line, to be in or come into precise adjustment or correct relative position. That's what align means. To come in line, to be in or come into precise adjustment or correct relative position. And one thing that you need to understand is that the way God created you, he created you in alignment. See, but stuff got us out of alignment. So realign just simply means to be in or come into precise adjustment or correct relative position again. And sometimes some of us, watch this, maybe you've had a relationship with God, for some time and you've done a good job of getting in alignment, at certain points, but then things get you off course and you have to realign again. Several years ago, my wife and I, we bought a car. It's a Buick Enclave. Actually, we still have it. And so when we bought it, and we bought it used, so we wanted to have some things done to make sure everything, is good. And so one of the things that we were doing is getting it aligned. Because one thing that I noticed that it drifted a little bit. So I would take it, to different mechanics that I was have been working with, so forth over the years. And they would try to align it, and they couldn't. And I remember one, he was just like, I did the best I can. You know, look, you can see the report. It's okay, but it's really not, you know, it's really not, you know, right, so on and so forth. And I was like, what? Like, you can't align. Yeah, yeah. Took it to another guy. Same thing. I was like, okay, what is going on here? I took it to this third guy. He was like, oh, you got to take it to the manufacturer. I said, huh? He said, yeah, nobody else is going to be able to align this right. Said you got to take it to the dealership because there was some way that the manufacturer had designed it, wired it. And I don't know if there's certain like a locking system or something that the only one that could align it properly was the dealer. And I took it to the dealer, and the dealer was like, "Yep, we got you, fixed it, so forth." And then the service agent told me something interesting. After that, he says, "If you want to take it somewhere else after this, now you can." I said, huh. And just in processing all that, just helped me really to understand kind of our life with God. Listen, there's different people in our lives that may be well-intended, but can I just be plain? They don't know how to properly align you. Thank God for our universities and colleges and so forth. That's all well and wonderful, but you got to get to the manufacturer. See, because you've been built a certain way that no aftermarket can fix you right. You got to get to the manufacturer, and he will be able to properly align you so that you don't drift in life. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, it takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream. Someone say steady stream. Of words from God's mouth. We got to have it. So realign what? Realign what? Realign. Here's a fill in the blank. Realign blank with God and his truth. You can put all kinds of stuff in here that we need to realign. I'm going to give you several just so you can start thinking about. Realign the way we raise our children with God and his truth. Let me see. Just don't raise your hand. Please don't do it. But have you ever been out to the grocery store or something and you wanted to whip somebody else's child? All right, I'll keep it going. Realign the way we raise our children with God and his truth. Realign, watch this, the way we conduct romantic relationships. Oh, come on. This 2024. You know, me living with him or me living with her, you know, I mean, it is what it is. God know we love each other. I was like, okay, I get that. You're right. God does know you love each other. He does. He see what you're doing. He understands all that. But God also says, but there's a way that I design so that you and your romantic relationship could flourish at the highest level. It says, and what you're settling for is just, you know, kind of penny-ante. It says, what I design for you, my truth, really will make that thing robust. Yes. Come on now. We got children over at Impact Kids. Listen. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to keep it moving, but I'm going to say it. Sexual activity in the marriage union far exceeds that little stuff you do when you ain't married. Hey, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. I'm going to keep it moving. See, because you don't understand. See, you got God's anointing now. Oh, you thought God's anointing was just for preaching? God's anointing will hit your body. Oh, boy, we about to change everything. Everybody say, keep going, Pastor. Just keep going. Don't do it. Realign. Come on now. The way we do marriage with God and his truth. Listen, hey, I like education. I think it's great. And, you know, all kind of books, psychology, sociology, so on and so forth, you know, and family books, and this is what you should do, and this is so forth. That's all good, but you better get to the manufacturer to understand how God says this is how marriage should work. Yeah, but that's outdated. This 2024. All right, you're going to drift. And eventually, you drift long enough, you crash. Realign the way we vote with God and his truth. Well, I think I hit something. Listen, it's not about Democrat or Republican. Not at all. Not at all. Align the way you vote with God and his truth. Align the way we respond, watch this, to cultural issues with God and his truth. Not out of our emotions. Align the way we view sexuality and genderism with God and his truth. I find it intriguing. The state of California right now, they are discussing and, you know, looking to put on the table a bill to make, you know, into law prohibiting children under the age of 12 years old from playing football in the state. So basically they're about to get rid of all, you know, little league, you know, football. Because their position is it's dangerous. And these children haven't developed, you know, well yet. And, you know, they are liable to have, you know, maybe concussions that could hurt them and affect them for years and years to come. So I get that concern. I get it. I do. But then how do you in the same breath allow a four-year-old to say, I want to change my gender? Like, that thinking is not consistent. Our federal, our Congress has been talking now really for a long time about limiting social media for children under a certain age. Because just like our children, their brains haven't developed enough yet. These influences are hurting them. You know, you have these fads that happen on TikTok and kids following stuff and dying. So they're just like, we need to do something. Okay, but then how do you allow a 4 to 5 year old to say, hey, I want to change my gender, and then the school system helps the child without telling their parent? So all of a sudden that 4 or 5 year old is mature enough to make that decision? And y'all gonna start pumping him or her with hormones and different medication and then run them onto a track for surgery? It's like it's inconsistent. Why? Because you're not submitted to God and his truth. It's just about what we think feels right in the moment. We got to realign. We got to realign the way we do church. I never will forget this years ago. A friend of mine, he came to me. He said, oh, Crawford, we were both really, pretty young, you know, in faith. I was probably younger than him. Just in terms of my life with God. He's Crawford. Oh, man, you should have been with me. Oh, Bishop such and such was preaching. He was laying it down. Oh, it was good. It was good. I mean, he's so excited, it was getting me excited. I was like, what? Oh, my goodness. He said, oh, man, you should have been there. You should have been there. You should have been there. So finally, I asked the million-dollar question, just like, what y'all thinking? I said, what was he ministering on? And he looked at me incredulously, like, I don't know, man. It was just good. In that moment, I made a watershed decision for my life. I said, I would never do church like that. I would never be a part of church like that. That makes no sense. That makes no sense. And I know it. I know a lot of times, you know, people, you know, want, you know, some place where they can, you know, get stirred up. Come on now. Come on. You know, we used to have, you know, the whole Hammond B3 organ. Come on now. And watch this. And there'd be somebody over there, and they would know the cues how to get the preacher going. And then, hey, come on now. And everybody getting going. And everybody walking out feeling good, but have no weaponry from God. Feel great on Sunday morning, like, ooh, ooh, and then get beat down by the devil all week long. Because you know nothing. And I said, I just won't do that. I said, I just won't do it. Shared this with you a few weeks ago. Inspiration without revelation that does not produce transformation is empty religious occupation. You're just in bondage and don't even know it. Come on, you got to realign the way we manage our money with God and his truth. We got to realign the way we give and who we give to. Every little organization out here, no. We'll be back. We need to realign the way we think of ourselves with God and his truth. We need to realign the way we serve our community with God and his truth. We need to realign the way we think of purpose with God and his truth. Listen, I'll be back on this. We all have a unique design, but we all share the same purpose. One of the things that we've missed, and I'll admit to it, messed up, of teaching that somehow we all have these individual purposes. That's not it. We do have an individual design, but the purpose is the same before God. It's the same mission. We need to realign the way we look at everything with God and his truth. Someone say, I'm here to realign. Now, let's get into something here. We're going to look at something in Matthew chapter 26. Because the early disciples, followers of Christ, you know, of Jesus, struggle with much of the same things that we do today. And one of the big struggles then and now is how the followers of Jesus view and relate to him. So back then, there were issues with how some of his followers viewed and related to him. And it's still the same issue today, where there are many who, yes, they were called Christians, disciples, whatever the case may be, but how we actually view and relate to Jesus is off. So you see a case here of some struggle in Matthew chapter 26, verse 20 to 25. It says, when it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12. So here we go now, a time of a Passover meal. While they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, am I the one, Lord? I mean, think about it. Your hero kind of looks you in the face and be like, one of y'all crooked. I mean, you just like, oh. So all of them are like, Lord, is it I, Lord? He replied, one of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. He gets real specific. For the Son of Man must die as the scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born. Now, watch this. Everybody was like, am I the one, Lord? Am I the one, Lord? Am I the one, Lord? Now it comes to Judas's turn out of the 12 that's there. And Judas, the one who would betray him, also asked, Rabbi, am I the one? And Jesus told him, you have said it. But did you notice something different? All the other disciples were like, am I the one, Lord? Am I the one, Lord? Am I the one, Lord? Comes to Judas, and Judas is like, Rabbi. Some translations say master. In essence, it means just kind of a good teacher. Am I the one? Oh. We see now and have insight that Jesus to Judas was just a good teacher. See, now to other disciples, he was now Lord, meaning the one with supreme authority, the one who has the right to control, to command, and to rule my life. Judas didn't relate that way. See, let's be plain. Judas was his own Lord. And he used Jesus for his self-development. Now that still goes on big in the church today. Listen, we must come to know Jesus as Lord and not just merely as Savior. Come on, emergency bailout supervisor, lotto jackpot awarder. Come on, divine healer, miracle worker. And all those things are good. Don't get me wrong. That is good. But you gotta know him as Lord. What's the difference? What's the difference? You see it right here on the screen. Jesus as Savior involves all that he's done and is doing for us. Jesus as Lord involves all that we are doing and commit to do for him as he prescribed. So yes, we can enjoy him as Savior, all that he has done and is doing for us, but he's expecting for us also to relate to him as Lord. Come on now, what we are doing and commit to do for him as he prescribed in our lives. Lordship. Notice this. You see it on the screen. The master tool for proper alignment in life is the humble acknowledgement that Jesus is Lord over all. Remember, I told you, no one could properly align that enclave for us. Couldn't properly align it. They didn't have the proper tools. See, the proper tool, the master tool that you need for proper alignment is there has to be a humble acknowledgement. Jesus is Lord over all. Say it with me. Jesus is Lord over all. When we say Jesus, well, when we say Jesus is my Lord, we're metaphorically bending our mental knee to him and his will. Matter of fact, let me see. Where's my passage here? Glory. Somebody move my notes. Here we go. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, therefore God elevated him, Jesus, to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, name here literally means authority, that at the authority of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you can declare now joyfully or later sorrowfully, but everyone will declare and esteem him as the one who has supreme authority. And you can do it now joyfully, or you're going to do it later sorrowfully, but you're going to do it because he's the one with supreme authority. And he's calling for his church. He's calling for those that say they follow him to treat him like that, like he is really Lord and you're not. Got quiet on that last part. Because here's the reality. Come on, let's be real. We want to be Lord. We want to be the one with, you know, supreme authority. We want to be the one who makes the final call. We want to be the one in control. See, that's why you couldn't say amen right there. That's us. That's where our natural nature wants to take us. And you have to resist that. And recognize, no, I work for the one who's Lord. Yeah, I got some authority out here, but I work for the one who is Lord. So again, when we say Jesus is my Lord, metaphorically, we are bending our mental knee to him. And watch this. This means we will bend the opinions of our mind, the urges of our emotions, and the force of our will to the heart, desire, and values of Christ. You understand? When we're saying Jesus is Lord, we're saying that we'll bend the opinions that we may have, the urges from our emotions. We'll bend those and bow those down to the Lord Jesus. The force of our will, what we kind of want to decide that we thought we should do and big enough and grown enough to do. We bend all that, you know, to his heart, his desire, values of Christ. We can have our opinions and feelings and decisions, so let's be clear. We can. But the moment we are confronted with truth from God that our opinions, feelings, and decisions are contrary to what he promotes through Christ, regardless of how hard it may seem, we have a duty and a responsibility to bow to his lordship. Do you understand? The moment you're confronted with the fact that your opinion is different than God's, you have a duty and a responsibility to change, to bow down. Now, what we like to do is if we sense something is different in how we think and then what God says, we want to try to run from what God says. And then sometimes we just want to play the ignorant game. Well, I just don't know. Ignorance of God's word is no excuse. No excuse. None whatsoever. You can only bow to what you know. So that means a part of our life journey has to be to constantly educate, train, and develop ourselves in God's word. I mean, it has to be one of the main goals of our lives. So that we are saying, watch this, on this steady stream of God's word from his mouth. So that as we have opinions, urges, decisions that now we see from God's word is just like, yeah, that's contrary to me. Then we respond with a sense of duty and responsibility that, okay, it's up to me to change. It's not on God to change. See, that's what we want to do. Now people want to start praying. Want to start praying because what God is saying is different than what I'm thinking, so I'm going to be praying for a different solution. God says, no. That's not the time to pray for a way out. That's the time for you to pray to consecrate and surrender yourself. You have to understand what God says in his word. This is why the vision of this church has always been from day one. Faith Christian Center Impact Church has always been what you see on the screen today. Impact Church of South Florida's vision is to teach people the word of God in a way that is clear and concise and that is easily understood and applied. We will provide people the training and support to aid them in fully recognizing their righteousness in Christ and in completely fulfilling their God-given purpose. And I'm praying about that right there. That is to develop a genuine passion for God, to obtain an understanding of God's word, to learn how to represent Christ with integrity, to cultivate a heart to pursue the lost and wounded, to establish a sense of order and unity within the body, to offer continuous service to God and people, and to nurture excellence in spirit in all things. Listen, our mission, we exist to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. That's our why. That's why we are here. Our vision is how we approach pretty much ministry, how we approach carrying out the why. And with everything that we do, it's always with this emphasis right here, to teach people the word of God in a manner and in a way that is clear and concise and that's easily understood and applied. Everything that we do, that's why I don't get up here and start shouting and spitting and dancing and just being out of control or you can't understand me, because that doesn't help you. This is why we have our growth track, where we help individuals kind of walking through a process to really begin, you know, a good growth momentum with God. And again, we're laying things out clear and concise, easily understood and applied. This is why we have our step five. Our step five is a 1 year, you know, kind of Bible school catechism, you know, program. So it's not really demanding, but it's just really designed to just kind of give you some understanding of some of the core truths of following Christ. And this is why this fall, so I'm going to say this fall, we're bringing in Impact College. But I'm going to tell you right now, Impact College is not for everybody. Now, it is for everybody, but it's not for people who don't want to bend their knee. See, if you want to just like hold on to your way, Impact College is not for you. You would do better to go to, you know, like Broward College or something like that. But if you're going to be willing to bend your knee, your mental knee, come on, your opinions, your emotions, your will to God. Yeah, Impact College is something, watch this, that I believe every member of Impact Church should go through. So hear that up front. Every member of Impact Church. With what we're doing with Impact College, let me say this. We did some things some years ago. We called it leadership training. And I was so amazed and heartbroken how I would watch people be in the program that refused to change. And I will watch some that would just be like, yeah, I hear that, but not this. No, this is me. Just like, it's like, see, you're your own Lord. And then some people will over spiritualize things, be like, well, yeah, if Jesus told me, then I'll change. No, you won't. No, you won't, because you won't even listen to those that he sent. I would find it interesting. I'm just here, so I'm going to hang out for a minute. I would find it interesting. People, you know, I would say, you know, certain things, and I would lay things out, and I'd give, like, you know, 10 verses all throughout the Bible that supported, you know, the dynamic. And then someone be like, well, I just don't believe that. Okay, well, show me in God's word, you know. You know, what your opinion. Support your opinion from God's word. They couldn't, but they continued to hold on to it. I said, see, you won't relate to him as Lord. You want to be your own Lord and use Jesus for a good life. Ah, hallelujah. Impact College is going to be excellent, though. We're going to be, you know, in conjunction, you know, with our church in Impact College in Jacksonville. And we'll be in conjunction, obviously, even greater with Southeastern University. So it's a 2-year, really, leadership, you know, development, you know, program where you will earn college credit. And if you desire, you can also take a couple of online classes with SCU. And, you know, combining them together, you qualify for an associate's degree. And then we're actually going to be working it, you know, to be able to expand, you know, the leadership development to a bachelor's of science in leadership. So it's not for everybody, but it is for everybody. You got to be willing to bow your knee. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Don't be conformed to this world. Allow yourself to be transformed. And the way to be transformed is, first and foremost, you acknowledge, humbly acknowledge, Jesus is Lord over all. All my thoughts, all my emotions, all my decisions, I surrender to you. Lordship, choosing him as Lord. We've been called to transform. Let me give you this point, and then I want to give you some more promises today. You'll never experience the full benefits of Jesus as Savior until you bow consistently to him as Lord. People are praying for the benefits. And just like the promises, some of that we're even going to look at. And, you know, we want those benefits. But see, there's benefits, but then there's also responsibility. And the responsibility is, we humbly acknowledge that he is Lord of all. And however hard it may seem, maybe it's a relationship, you know, maybe it's a way you're doing business right now. It's just like, man, if I change it now, because I know I've been kind of, you know, maybe cutting some corners on different things. If I change it, I don't know if I'm going to be able to survive. Listen, trust God. You're the one he loves. He's not going to let you fall when you honor him. Anytime you honor God, God will honor you. It's called seed time and harvest. And that's where we go back to, like, what we were talking about on last week. Don't let fear control you. Yeah, if I do this, what's going to happen? I don't know if I can make it. You think too small of your God. He's got you. Always has and always will. You thought it was this, that, and the other that was sustaining you. No, baby, no. It's always been Jehovah that we were singing about earlier. Always. Looking at some of God's promises for our lives, this is what I call the whole life edition. The first one that you should be thinking and leaning into is wisdom. James 1:5-6 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. Come on, have you ever just been stuck in that place where you didn't know what to do? God says, come talk to me. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, watch this, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. You know what I hear from that? You got to see him as Lord. Can't have that divided loyalty. Oh, here's another promise. He's an ever-present help for you. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Come on, we need to read the last part of that together. Come on, say it out loud with me. The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Come on, you got an ever-present help. He's always present. Come on, not only an ever-present help, but you have divine presence within. Ooh, you are wall-to-wall God. Come on, head to toe. John 14:16 says, Jesus talking, he says, and I will ask the Father, he's talking to his disciples then, he says, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you, because he was getting ready to leave. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. I got good news for you. We're in the later. We're in the later. The later is now. Come on, he's in you. When you have made a decision for Jesus, the Spirit of the living God, same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives on the inside of you. Come on, you have a promise of illumination and insight. Mark chapter 4, verse 22. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. See, watch this. Parents, I'm gonna teach you something. Parents, this is a verse you want to pray regarding your children. Everything is hidden. Father, I lay claim to this promise. It'll be brought to the open. Anything secret, it'll be brought to light. You know how it is, because see, we were all, you know, children at one point. We think we are so much smarter than our parents that we can do this, that, and the other, and they don't know, they don't have a clue. See, but when you got a parent that's tapped into the Spirit of God, yeah, okay, your stuff's gonna get exposed. You have a promise, an ability to win. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. You are more than conquerors. Well, whatever's coming up against you, you are more than a conqueror. You don't just conquer, you're a conqueror plus. Yeah. Whatever's coming up against you, know that you have the ability to win. You're on the strong side, the side that's already won, that is winning and will never lose. You got promise from God. And then last, well, actually two more. You have power. Someone said, I got some power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Come on, in South Florida and throughout, you know, Florida and all the United States and all the ends of the earth. That's how you can read that. But you have power. Power. You're not helpless. Yeah, you got power. Dunamis is where we get the English word dynamite. It's explosive ability. That's what you have. It's a promise from God. Tap into it. And then the last one we'll look at today is this, the sense of physical energization and resurrection. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. What you say? By this same Spirit living within you. Come on now. The Spirit of God on the inside of you is energizing your system, your physical system. And he's also present there, watch this, to be a part of the resurrection of your body when the time comes. You got promise from God. Come on, you ever had those days, watch this, where you just felt like you were low energy? Tap into and stir up the gift on the inside. Come on, you don't need no 5-hour energy. All that artificial stuff. The people ask me that all the time. I said, are you drinking that? I don't need it. I got Holy Spirit. He's my energizer bunny that just keeps going and going and going. Yeah, that's promises that we have with God. But remember, the master tool for aligning properly with God is this humble acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is Lord over all. Let him be Lord, and let us make sure that we bow to him in all things, surrendering all to him.